This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's good to have you with us today. And we begin with a look at the program at the center of a fight that could shut down the government this Friday and change the future of 800,000 young immigrants.
And there's just so much pressure because knowing that, you know, with DACA, like, it's such a great opportunity to have permission to study, to be here.
I just don't know what to think anymore at this point. Like, at this point, I live my life in a mystery.
It tore down my self-esteem because I worked so hard for over 10 years, and then to be told, oh, you can't do this, not because you're not good enough, because of your legal status, something you can't control.
Every day, I just, like, I'm a mystery jack-in-the-box. Like, hey, here's what's gonna happen to you. So, you know, there's not gonna be where tomorrow I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Sure, I can apply that to my academics, but, like socially and like mentally, like, I don't know.
Those are DACA recipients at Lafayette College in Pennsylvania. They were interviewed by Andrea Bonilla, a sophomore film student at Lafayette, and a DACA recipient herself who came to the United States as an undocumented immigrant from Ecuador when she was 5 years old. Now, the future of young people like Andrea has been thrown into doubt. President Trump rescinded DACA in September, and it's set to expire in March. Congress now is trying to come up with a legislative fix that the president will sign. And meanwhile, a federal judge in San Francisco ruled over the weekend that DACA must continue for now because the Trump administration suspended it illegally. DACA recipients were allowed to apply for renewal this past weekend under that order, but the whole program is now in a state of uncertainty and confusion. We'll get the story from Congress in just a minute, but first we go to Andrea in Easton, Pennsylvania. Andrea, thanks for coming back.
I'm happy to be back.
Well, Andrea, you've been working on a documentary featuring the stories of DACA recipients like you in your film program there at Lafayette College. Who were some of the people that we heard from there just a minute ago?
It was one of them was Diana, Sylvia, Julius, and Kat.
Talk about their stories just a little bit.
Well, for Sylvia, who I'm most close with, she's my roommate. She actually has so much at stake. She has three other siblings, and DACA being rescinded for her means that they could end up in an orphanage if she gets deported and her parents get deported. And so she walks around every day with that weight on her shoulders. And Julius as well, he talks about how instead of focusing just on his academics, he has to worry about whether he's going to have to leave the country. Whether it's tomorrow or next week or after he graduates, and he just doesn't know what to do, how to make future plans.
Sylvia is your roommate, is that right?
Yes, she is.
Andrea, what does she say to you when you guys are hanging out about this, you know, this anxiety, this pressure that she feels for herself and for her brothers and sisters?
Well, one of the things she told me that left me in shock was that we basically became criminals at the age of 5 and 6 without even doing anything. Ever since we've come here, we've had this label on us. And that, like, really touched me. It was, like, one of the things that inspired me. I was, like, I became a criminal at the age of 5. And we basically get treated as if we were criminals because we can't apply to certain jobs. We can't apply to FAFSA, we can't do this, we can't travel abroad, and it's because we have this label on us as if we were criminals.
Well, Andrea, you know, a lot of DACA recipients are now in a kind of revolving limbo. You mentioned it. Uncertainty when President Trump rescinded the program. Now more questions as lawmakers of both parties are struggling to get a deal with the president and the decision from the courts as well. You've been through some of that anxiety yourself. Tell me how you've navigated the renewals and the deadlines so far.
Well, I was able to renew my DACA in November because mine was set to expire in January, which was before the deadline. So I was happy that I was able to renew my DACA, and now I can stay here legally until 2019. But it's definitely been an emotional roller coaster. At moments, I felt paralyzed because I didn't know how to move forward. When I didn't know if the degree I'm working towards every day is something I'm going to be able to use for a job. But I definitely keep pushing forward, and I hope that one day everything I work towards will be worth it, and I will have the opportunity to apply to be a citizen or the opportunity to study abroad.
So I know you're watching Washington and all these debates that are going on, Andrea. In addition to keeping up with your schoolwork there at Lafayette College in Pennsylvania, do you have a fear that if a deal's not reached or it's the wrong kind of deal, that you could graduate college and then have to go?
Yes, that's always a fear. I'm basically working towards this college degree, and the day after my graduation, I could be deported. And that's like a sense of fear and anxiety that I always do have with me. Like, I just can't let it paralyze me.
I imagine you probably never spent as much time watching Congress so closely as maybe you do right now, because, boy, it really matters what they decide this week or in the coming weeks.
Yes, for sure. This past semester, and of course right now, I've always been checking up on the news, and it can be like a huge mental toll on you. One day it's, oh, it's good news, the next day, oh, it's looking bad. So it's definitely, I feel like I'm being played with, because it's not just news. This is my life and I have to live through this, and whatever decision they make, it can completely change my life and what my future plans look like.
Well, people in Congress are having lots of talks this week, Andrea, about the future of this program. I guess the future of your friends and you and your ability to stay here. What would you like them to keep in mind as they weigh all the different options for making a deal here?
Well, I think that DACA students need to be given a path to citizenship or residency, because DACA gave us a work permit and protection for deportation, but there was never a path to citizenship or residency, and we weren't eligible for FAFSA or internships and programs. It frustrates me that DACA was taken away when it wasn't even enough to begin with, because it just gave us a little bit of protection, but it didn't give us much.
Andrea, you're saying that DACA allowed you to simply not be deported, but didn't really allow you the ability to get legal, to get documented, and to build a life here.
Yeah, it didn't give us that path. It's important because most of us grew up here. Personally, I came here when I was 5 years old, so I started kindergarten here. I've gotten my entire education here, and when people are like, oh, why aren't you a citizen or a resident? It frustrates me, because if I could, I would become a citizen or a resident. But the only way I can do that is if I get married, and that's my only option. And people don't realize that, because people think, oh, DACA students, like, why aren't they citizens? If they work so hard, why can't they work so hard to apply to become a citizen? And the answer is simple. If we could, we would, but there is no pathway to become a citizen. And we work so hard every day. We work twice as hard as everybody else, while we still have this fear of, like, being deported. And I think we deserve credit for that, because we aren't guaranteed a day here, yet we work twice as hard as, like, everyone around us.
Andrea, thanks for coming back on and talking with me.
You're welcome.
Well, DACA recipients like Andrea and her classmates are watching Washington closely now as lawmakers on Capitol Hill try to negotiate some kind of fix to the DACA problem, while a spending deadline and a possible government shutdown loom this Friday. Rachel Bade is a congressional reporter for Politico, joins me now from Capitol Hill. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, Todd.
Well, Rachel, in all the glare of the president's remarks last week and the federal court decision forcing deferred action to continue, it got a bit lost that key lawmakers, Republicans and Democrats, reached a compromise last week on DACA, and then the president killed it. What happened?
Yeah, we don't seem to be seeing a lot of progress toward a deal on DACA, unfortunately, for folks like Andrea, your previous guest. There was this notion last week when President Trump brought in Democrats and Republicans for this sort of open negotiation session on what to do about Dreamers, that there was progress being made. There was a lot of people saying, oh, we're going to get a deal this week. But privately, a lot of people acknowledged that that was sort of just a show for the public. And both sides were really entrenched in their positions and were staying there. Then the next day, obviously, we had reports about a bipartisan breakthrough in the Senate. And the president pretty much killed that right away, saying it was a step backwards and he wanted more concessions from Democrats. Add on top of that, these sort of vulgar remarks he made about countries in Africa and immigrants from Haiti and African nations. And things have really broken down on the Hill. I can tell you that there's sort of a bunch of partisan finger pointing going on right now, with Democrats pointing to the president's comments and sort of being worried about actually negotiating with the president on this, afraid that their base might not have it. On the other side of things, you know, Republicans are trying to sort of glaze over that, some of them saying maybe it didn't happen, but saying that Democrats are going to try to shut down the government to save Dreamers, and it's just a complete mess up here.
So, Rachel, this week then, how much pressure is there for a deal now? Because Democrats in Congress have been under huge pressure from pro-immigration groups, Latino groups, to force a deal on DACA or force a shutdown. But this week's spending deal, does it give them the leverage to do that, or are we looking at a temporary deal that means more deal-making on DACA later?
I think that all depends on how far Democrats are willing to go to push for a deal on DACA. For the past few months, we've basically seen Congress kicking the can down the road every couple of weeks to buy themselves more time to negotiate on a long-term spending deal and a fix for Dreamers. The issue is that a lot of people are getting sick of Congress kicking the can down the road. So Democrats are feeling this sort of outside pressure from outside groups to draw a line in the sand this time and say, no, we're not going to kick the can down the road for another month. We're going to shut down the government right now if we don't get a deal. The issue there is that there's a fear amongst some Democratic leaders that if they do that, that they will be blamed by the public for a shutdown and accused by Republicans of shutting down the government to protect undocumented immigrants. And they're worried about that. So the question is, are they willing to risk it? TBD, we are waiting to see that right now on Capitol Hill.
And Rachel, Republicans, can they avoid getting leveraged out by Democrats here and just kicking the can themselves for another few weeks?
Not exactly. In the House, Paul Ryan has been able to sort of cobble together his conference to pass a short-term government funding bills without Democrats. But in the Senate, they need 8 Senate Democrats. So Schumer, Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, he's going to really have to keep his folks together, his caucus together, if he's willing to take this to a shutdown.
Rachel Bade on Capitol Hill for Politico. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.